privilege once again to be in the presence of God and His saints, and really grateful again once again for the opportunity to preach here. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, we're going to focus tonight on verses 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. The Word of God reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Amen. The fourth commandment, sadly, is not being observed in the church as it once has. Questions arise, is it for the Jews only? Is it ceremonial in nature? Now we need to explain that term, ceremonial. It is generally accepted the Ten Commandments, at least 9 of them, are moral. Moral being, they have always been the standard. It is the very character of God. These commandments are things that have always been in place in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall of Adam. And right up to the end of time. This is the very, what we call, when man is created in the image of God. The very character, what was imprinted on Adam's conscience. That is what was lost in the fall. That was what was defaced in the fall. Now, when we have the Ten Commandments written on tables of stone, we have moral commandments, but do we have a ceremonial right in the middle? Dispensationalism and New Covenant theology will tell us that because the command has not been explicitly repeated in the New Testament, that it is not for today. That is a very simplified version of the argument, but I think we know it very well. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now the question is, what commandments? If Christians are known by commandment keeping, because they've been regenerated, born of the Spirit of God, be given new desires, new affections, what are the commandments? Psalm 1, verses 1 to 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight," and it says, "delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Notice that word, delight. Do you delight in the law of God? And it's a tragedy in the modern church that the law of God has been associated in many different ways with tyranny. Sadly. If you mention anything about the first table of the law in regards to the state, the word tyranny is brought up. It is the perfect law of liberty. But we're going to look at the fourth commandment. What I call, and this is the title to tonight's message, the forgotten Sabbath. The outline for tonight's message is this: a forgotten defense, a forgotten delight, a forgotten day, and a forgotten declaration. The first point, a forgotten defense. One of the areas that is failing today is we do not know how to defend the Sabbath. Many, many Christians. Often, it has been neglected for a generation or two. People go to church on the Sabbath. They call it the Sabbath day. They know the people like Charles Spurgeon use the term. They know things like that, but that was it. They just see it as a tradition. And it goes no further. So they see it as a tradition with no explanation. We need to be able to explain why the Sabbath is still for today. Why it is moral in character and not ceremonial. Ceremonial, something that was given in the Old Testament for a period of time, a positive addition to the law that was then taken away. Sacrifices, laws that were temporary laws, dietary laws that were given to the nation of Israel. But when we go across, even the Reformed Church, which is professedly confessional, you will see a lack of concern for violation of the Sabbath. You will see people, sadly, that will talk about games they saw on the Lord's Day. So the Sabbath is seen like a fringe issue. We can never, ever see part of God's law. This is not something like various views in eschatology. This is not all mill, post mill. This is much more important than that. So is the Sabbath still for today? If it is still for today, it is of utmost importance for many different reasons. If we want to honor the Lord in our walk and walk before him in a godly way, we need to know this. Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth." In this verse, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." It points right back to creation. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It gives us the reason, why do we rest one day in seven? Because of creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, let's think about this. Did God need a rest? The answer clearly is no. God does not get tired. What is the purpose? What does he cease from doing? 6 days of creation, and he ceases from those 6 days, the normal activity of the week, and ceases from that. Now, is God idle in this? No. God is not idle. He maintains his creation. He is never idle. So, we have fundamentally, in the modern church, even when we do profess to believe the Sabbath, unfortunately missed the point. Often when people talk about the Sabbath, I hear people talking about how much they rest and how much sleep they get on the Sabbath. This is a fundamental misunderstanding of the Sabbath. I'm not saying that a nap cannot be taken. I'm not saying that there's a big list of do's and don'ts. But the whole point of the Sabbath day is our normal activity for the week is ceased. And we take up a new activity. Not a new activity, but we cease from that. Therefore, we can rest in Christ. We can rest in the Lord. We are to be imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says we are to be followers of God. That word could also be follower, can also be rendered imitator. We are supposed to imitate and follow God's example. Now, we cannot be omnipresent. We cannot be all-knowing. These are not communicable attributes. But where they are communicable attributes, we are to imitate. God lays down a pattern. We see this with Cain, the example of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Cain did not follow the example laid down by God. God killed the first sacrificial animal. That was the pattern laid down. Cain used the imagination of his evil heart and offered something else. He was not an imitator of God. Abel was. Now, are there any examples? So another thing to show before Exodus chapter 20, when the tables of the law are given at Mount Sinai and creation, are there any examples of Sabbath observance recorded in Scripture? Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 to 5. Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 to 5. Now, the entire chapter could be read, but for the sake of time, we're going to read verses 4 to 5. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Okay, that's verses 4 to 5. And also I'm going to read verses 23 to 30, which read, And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord had said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, whether they any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Okay? And you can read down to verse 30 as well, to show that the Sabbath was observed prior to the giving of the ceremonial law. The moral law has never changed and will never change. It's the very character of God. There's comparisons made, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, between the law of God written on tables of stone and the law written on the hearts. That's the image of God. And since the fall of man, man holds the truth and unrighteousness. Yes, there's still emblems are part of the image of God, but it's been defaced. And in that, they compare the two. Basically this, the moral law has been written. Not in totality, it's the summarization of the law. The first table of the law, commandments 1 to 4, is our relationship to God. Commandments 5 to 10, our relationship to our fellow man. But they are interchangeable with each other. Now, remember how we're going to go back to our commandment. It says in verse 8, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, Remember the Sabbath day. If it's brand new, why would you be told to remember it? We're told to remember it. How much we need to be told to remember it today. Remember the Sabbath day. We are liable to forget it. And those who kind of will observe it will say, well, it's a great idea if you can do it. Which should be not the case. This is not a suggestion. We're going to get on to, yes, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. But this is a commandment. It is for man's good, and it is for man's blessing, but it is a commandment of God. Other examples, marriage also predates the fall. That is another creation ordinance, and I pray that no one would dare say that that has been abrogated. Second point, a forgotten delight. A forgotten delight in the commandment. Often, and this is one of the most damaging things to the Sabbath, we think of the Pharisees' caricature of the Sabbath. When I hear, unfortunately, modern evangelicalism represents the Pharisees' twisted, legalistic, false, joyless view of the Sabbath as being what the Sabbath is and was. Does it make sense the people who twisted the word of God and often added their own traditions are right on this issue? There's a good chance that they are not. If we believe that the Sabbath is a list of do's and don'ts, and unfortunately it can be very easy to get legalistic in this area, to real Sabbath keeping is joyful. We should look forward. It's Wednesday today. Are we thinking of the Sabbath? Are we preparing our hearts? Are we thinking about what we can maybe even read on the Sabbath day, what we can meditate upon? And I know in my heart, as I'm saying this, I feel convicted. Do we just kind of think, okay, Saturday ends at 12 o'clock at night. Boom. That's when I'm going to switch off all the things that I'm filling my heart with. Or do I prepare my heart? If I'm meeting someone incredibly important, if I'm meeting the president of some major country, say the president of the United States comes over, or I'm meeting the British Prime Minister, or meeting the Prime Minister of Ireland, whatever, am I going to come last minute? Or am I going to prepare myself? Someone more important is who we're talking about here. The Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The spirit of Sabbath keeping is joyful. If your Sabbath keeping is not joyful, and what I mean by joyful is you are sad when it's over, then we're missing the point. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 to 14. Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. It reads as follows. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Delight thyself in the Lord. If we teach our children that the Sabbath is just, here's all the wonderful things you cannot do in that day, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. And they're going to grow up hating it. We, in teaching the next generation, we need to model it ourselves. We can't just say, do this, do that. If they will, children are very perceptive. They will see if you're excited about something. You don't even have to tell them. If the Bible is important to you, they want to know about it. Why is this important to them? The unfortunate generations have passed of Sabbath keeping, I believe, where there has been a lack of joy. But every other day is joyful. If that is the case, we need to reorder our priorities. Are we teaching about the Sabbath? Are we excited about the Sabbath? Do we want more? You know, we say, okay, the Sabbath, oh, it's over so fast. I want to read more. I want to pray more. I want to... That is joying and enjoying the Lord. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath. So often we might remember the commandment, but we don't remember the delight. We have to do that. It is the perfect law of liberty. Do we look forward to it? God does not just want our time. He wants our affections. Can you imagine if you're with a loved one and you're clearly not there, your mind is wandering, You're just going, and they're just... We do that to God so much. When we pray, are we seeking more time? This should be wonderful. We are commanded to set a day aside for the Lord. Now, of course, we can set other time aside, and we should. We should set the morning time aside for devotions. But the Lord has set this day aside, the Lord's day, the chief and queen of all days aside for man, and not man for Sabbath. Number three, a forgotten day or a forgotten time. Okay, so the Sabbath is still for today. And often you will hear, well then, Saturday, right? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Says, 6 days, verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now, often, so often, when we read that, we think it's the seventh day of the week. It's not in there, by the way. It says the seventh day. And there's a difference. Seventh day of the week is Saturday. 6 days thou shalt labor, and the seventh of those 6 days is the Sabbath. We have not been told in the commandment what day it is. Now, prior to the cross, we know from creation that was the pattern laid down. It points back to creation. Since the cross, don't want to jump ahead too much, resurrection points back to the resurrection. But let's look at this. The commandment does not stipulate what day of the week it is. So often people are like, no, it's a Saturday. No, it does not. Jonathan Edwards commented that. He said, there is no direction in the fourth command how to reckon the time, i.e. where to begin and end it. But that is supposed to be determined otherwise. Okay? He also goes on to write, the Christian Sabbath, in the sense of the fourth command, is as much the seventh day as the Jewish Sabbath, because it is kept after 6 days of labor, as well as that. It is the seventh, reckoning from the beginning of our first working day, as well as that was the seventh from the beginning of their first working day. All the difference is that the 7 days formerly began from the day after God's rest from the creation, and now they begin the day after that. It is no matter by what names the days are called. If our nation had, for instance, called Wednesday the first day of the week, it would have been all the one as to the argument. So don't get caught up and it's like, oh, well, you know, the first thing, I have some things on the internet about the Sabbath, and once, you know, sometimes I'll get emails about it, and often one of the most common things that I'm emailed about is, well, then it's Saturday, and why aren't you observing on Saturday? The commandment nowhere stipulates this. And in the New Testament, now we have to look at, so the prior to the cross, absolutely, was the seventh day of the week. We know this. Now, in the New Testament, has the day been changed by the pattern laid down by the apostles and Christ himself? Now, first of all, let's go to John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. Says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, then it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So in this chapter, the first day of the week is recorded when Jesus rose from the dead. This is what we are pointing back to. The first day of the week is the Christian Sabbath. Now, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. When did Christians worship? Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Why would he meet? No, it's possible they met in all of this, but there's a pattern laid down every single time. The first day of the week. Christ rose on the first day of the week. Instances of worship on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given unto the churches Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Again, another instance, in verse 2, showing that they gathered together. Now, let's just talk about almsgiving, things like that. But the first day of the week was the day of worship. The day of worship. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, sadly, there's no serious argument against this. It's kind of like, well, every day is the Lord's day. Okay, yes, everything belongs to him. But why designate a specific day the Lord's day? If every day is the Lord's day, well, why even state it? Robert Dabney stated the following. It is the day, referring to Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, it is the day that belongs especially to the Lord. But as all our days belong in one sense to him, the only meaning is that the first day of the week is now set apart and hallowed to Christ. In Isaiah 58 verse 13, the Sabbath is called by God, my holy day. In 56:4, my Sabbath. That was God's day. It belonged to God. This is Christ's day. And in the same sense belongs to Christ. It is consecrated to his worship as was the Sabbath. It is virtually the Christian Sabbath. So, you know, that's really, really important. That we look, when we're looking at the law of God, that we be very, very precise. Because it's so easy that we come with, what's it, preconceived notions. Now, we need to read men of old and in the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Comparing what men of old have said about the scriptures. It doesn't mean just because there was a majority consensus that means they were correct. However, if the majority of people held to a view and the modern evangelical church is going against that, surely it should take serious study before we reject it. There is no serious study about this. If you go, not even talking about Reform circles, but outside of Reform circles, you would have found in the 19th century various movements within the church. They were very, you could say, it was very externalistic. A lot of them would have been about sometimes about banning coffee and things like that. But many times, all these movements were all about the Sabbath. And if you opened, they saw the moral decline of the country being shown in the Sabbath. And it didn't matter whether you were reformed or not reformed. I'll go back to Billy Sunday, not reformed at all, wouldn't recommend him. But like Billy Sunday and Charles Grant Finney, people who are not reformed, even somewhat outside of orthodoxy, they would have held to the Sabbath. Now maybe there was at times that they held to it and it passed from one generation onto the next without even thinking about it. But can we look throughout history and think the church is held to the Sabbath and now, well, we don't need it? Number four, a forgotten declaration or forgotten testimony before the world. When, look, one of the quickest things that's going to mark you out as a Christian is that you are not doing what everybody else does on Sunday. Have you ever noticed that? Hey, how was your weekend? Great. I went to church. Oh, what else you do? I went home and read my Bible. What else you do? Sang the songs. Now, everybody else talks about, do you ever notice how on the Lord's Day, people do what they love? If their favorite hobby, and I'm talking about people who are not Christians, not born again in the Spirit, etc. and so on. If their favorite hobby is running, they will go running. Probably more on Sunday than any other day. If it's cycling, you'll just see cyclists everywhere. If they're golf fans, they'll do that. The national sport down in the South, the program is called the Sunday Game. I have noticed over the years that what people love the most, actually a lot of the time, even they started doing in Roman Catholic masses, they started doing Saturday evening services. Why? Because they could clear out Sunday and they didn't have to go. So that Sunday was kept free, set aside as you will, for what they truly love. What does Sunday say about, what does the Lord's Day say about you? Exodus chapter 20 verse 6 says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." This is right in the middle of the giving of the moral law, the republication, as it's sometimes called, of the moral law. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, not because they love me, but this is the characteristic fruit of a Christian. Christians love God and keep my commandments. It's not because they keep the commandments, but this is what a born-again believer looks like. They keep God's commandments. Not perfectly, but any born-again believer will bear fruit. Commandments. Are we concerned about the commandments? Now, let's look at Pliny the Younger, who was a magistrate in the 1st and 2nd century in Rome, not a Christian from what I can see. He said, this is what he said of Christians. Christians were accustomed to meeting on a sacred day, to sing amongst themselves hymns to Christ as to God. Clement of Alexandria stated, A true Christian, according to the commands of the gospel, observes the Lord's Day by casting out all bad thoughts and cherishing all goodness, honoring the resurrection of the Lord, which took place on that day. Let's look at one more quote. Ignatius of Antioch said, "This is the Lord's Day, the day consecrated to the resurrection, the chief and queen of all days." What does your Sunday say about you? Is it a joyful keeping of the Sabbath? I don't want to come here and then everybody get serious about, hey, here's 10 things we're not going to do. No. The Sabbath is not a day of idleness. Actually, it should probably be the busiest day of the week. That might seem like a contradiction to me. It should be the busiest day of the week. You should get as much out of the way as possible. You know, cooking and whatever. Try and do, reduce it down as much as possible. It's not always possible to eliminate everything. Especially if you have children. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, but you're trying to clear out all the things that you can get out of the way in the 6 days to dedicate it unto the Lord. What is the most precious thing you can give people? Is it money? Or is it your time? I can guarantee you the thing that a child would appreciate most from a parent is their time. Your time is valuable. Is Christ valuable enough to you that you will set aside an entire day? And often people rail against this. Oh, it's so legalistic. It's an entire day. How? That is scary. Surely you should say, my heart has been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Really? How reasonable is the commandment of God? One day in seven, he commands. He could easily have asked for six. And it would not have been unreasonable. One day in seven. But we struggle with that. Not only struggle with that, we fight against that. We want to cherry pick the law of God. When it comes to, and I pray for the day when Christ would be recognized as head of both church and state, but the first table of the law is off limits when it comes to the state. And some second table commandments are still seen as important. Thou shalt not kill with abortion, and thou shalt not commit adultery and things like that when it comes to marriage and preserving marriage. But everything else, it's not so important. Actually, unfortunately, in the church, the idea of the state making laws according to biblical principles, biblical truths, making Christ head of the state, people say, oh, theocracy. And they think of the worst pictures, you know, from Roman Catholicism and things like that. Is the law of God perfect or is it not? Romans chapter 13 talks about ministers of God will be held accountable. They are to be ministers of God, to be held accountable before God. They carry the sword. They are meant to obey God. So the Sabbath is something that is to be important both in church and state. I bring this up because we get so distracted with so many campaigns. So much Christian time and money is spent today defending freedom of speech. And that might sound like a good thing. Wait a minute, let's get this straight. We have one area which complete freedom of religion, keep do whatever you want, just as long as it doesn't hurt me attitude. Well, the Sabbath law cannot be the law of the land, then. I said, what do? We say that this is the scriptures, this is where they stand, we promote that view. We, look, if you can get through to the politicians and write letters and exhort them to be born again, do what the saints of old did, praise the Lord. But the principles and things we spend our time on, do they promote the law of God in every sphere, in the state, in the church, and in our home? It's all for nothing if it's not in our home, in our daily walk. It may seem strange to some, why talk about this on a Wednesday? We need to think about this through the week. We need to prepare our hearts through the week. Because I can guarantee you, if you are not spending a lot of time on the Saturday preparing your heart, then you're going to have a very, very cold Sabbath morning. And you're going to be disinterested and your mind is going to wander. And you're going to be thinking about all the things you were looking at on Saturday. Are you preparing your heart to really worship God? Much of church history, the Bible shows right from, and now we have these new views, dispensationalism, new in terms of church history, last 200 years, more or less, and new covenant theology. We need, just conclusions now, we need to rediscover the joy of Sabbath keeping, because if the Sabbath is not joyful, you will not look forward to it. We need to plan our Sabbath. We need to really think about, okay, I'm going to get up this time, I'm going to pray. It's such an important day. And I know in my own heart, I need to work in this more. But we need, do we wish to honor God? We cannot talk about honoring God if we do not honor His Sabbath. We need to rediscover joy in Sabbath keeping. Again, if you are with a friend of yours and it's just joyless and you're just there and you just see that the person doesn't want to be there, are we going to be like that with God Almighty, who not only can see our facial expressions but can also know our hearts? It is sinful. The Pharisees were not right in the interpretation of the fourth commandment. There's many different objections that are brought up. There were ceremonial Sabbaths added to the law. They have been abrogated. But the one day in seven, that goes right back to creation. God did not get tired. God did not cease, you know, to be completely stationary and idle. The pattern is set there for us to follow, to work for 6 days, our normal activity and our businesses and all that, to the glory of God, and we can do those things. But those things must cease to set aside. If we don't do this, brethren, we will not. Our spiritual lives will suffer. There's no two ways about it. If we don't do this, we will not set time aside. What will happen is the world will eke in more and more and more. The world wants more of you, not less of you. The devil wants more of your life, not less. The Sabbath is an indicator of the spiritual state of a nation, of a church. If you want to see the moral decline of the United Kingdom, Ireland, other nations, look at Sunday opening hours. Sunday is just another day of the week. There was a time where it was unthinkable to go shopping on Sunday. They're almost inextricably linked together. And people know there's something different. People still know there's something different about Sunday. It's not just another day of the week. The Sabbath is an indicator of your life. One of the things that the Puritans did, they used to examine their lives, examine their places where they can repent. If we don't, how are we going to repent? Because often, here's what we do with our sin. We don't want to look at it. Because if we look at it, then we have to deal with it. And you see, the thing is, if something is sinful on those 6 days a week, it's much more serious on the Sabbath day, which God calls my holy day, my Sabbath. God is jealous over it. Make no mistake about it. Why would we fight against spending time with our King? Do you love God? Then truly this should all be, yes, I want more of Him. Not less of Him, more of Him. Look, the Sabbath properly understood brings you closer to Christ. It should be a wonderful time, fellowship. Notice how difficult it is for us, I'm including myself here, how difficult it is to keep on topics when we're talking that focus on Christ. That is our hearts. Our hearts and our minds will wonder. Why? Because we need to inflame our hearts with a love for Christ more. How should we come to church? We should be coming with, brimming with our minds filled with, I learned this from the Word of God. I'll look at this. Or how about this from the Scriptures? Not our businesses. Okay, maybe you can say, okay, business isn't going great. Could you pray for me? Fine. But the Sabbath properly understood should bring us closer to Christ and should be, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a day for Christ. A special day for Christ. Legalistic keeping of the Sabbath, it will drive away the next generation, because the Sabbath is to be a delight. We are to call the Sabbath a delight, joy. is the joy of the Lord your strength? Because I can guarantee you, if the joy of the Lord is not your strength, eventually, that legalistic veneer, we can all have a very outward, militant, I'm going to do this, this, and this, but it will fade. It will fade incredibly fast. And the Lord doesn't just want our time, He wants our affection. He wants us truly there. Are we going to get there overnight? No. I have to be patient with my children. I forget often to be. God is patient with us, much more than we realize. But are we patient with the process? We need, it's hard work, sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight. We need to be diligent, searching the Word of God, and to have our hearts stirred up. I pray that this week, spend more time in the Word of God on Sabbath. Spend more time every morning. Rather than 5-10 minutes praying, maybe a bit more. And stir up your heart on the Lord's Day. Go to bed early on Saturday. Wake up refreshed, ready to worship the Lord. Thank you.